Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Microsoft's Executive Vice President, Cloud and Enterprise, Scott Guthrie.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to AzureCon. It's great to have so many people joining us here today, both the audience here in person, but the tens of thousands of people that I'm told are now watching this streamed online. And I want to give a special shout out in particular to our Azure MVPs who have helped organize more than 70 viewing parties around the world where groups of people are getting together and watching the streaming event live. And we have some really great content and announcements that you'll hear throughout the day that I think hopefully you'll find pretty exciting. I'm going to kick off this day with a keynote providing an end-to-end view of Azure. And then throughout the day, we're going to have more than 60 breakout sessions where you can go much deeper into all of the different technology. And in addition to watching our sessions, you can get hands-on with Azure with our first ever AzureCon challenge. And basically, we have 15 activities that you can go ahead and if you complete in the first 24 hours, you'll earn credits that you'll be able to use to get some pretty cool prizes. And in addition to today's event, we're also excited to announce our new Azure World Tour, where the Azure engineering team is going to be flying around the world to more than 20 different cities, hosting free in-person all-day training events. And this is a great way to kind of get even more hands-on with Azure. And you know, we're really hoping you can join us at a location near you. So we're in the midst of a generational shift in computing right now, and it represents major changes for everyone. Microsoft included. And every organization over the next few years is going to need a strategy for how they move from where they are today to take advantage of what the cloud offers. And they're going to look to adopt SaaS-based solutions to achieve faster time to value. They're going to extend their infrastructure to use the public cloud to take advantage of better agility and cost savings. And increasingly, they're going to take advantage of higher-level services. Like machine learning and our new Cortana Analytics Suite, to engage better with customers and be able to reinvent business processes. And it's really the combination of all of these three things that enable real business transformation. And all of us here today are uniquely positioned to deliver on this together. Microsoft now offers the most comprehensive suite of business SaaS solutions out there. Between Office 365, Microsoft Dynamics, and Power BI. We really have kind of a wide spectrum of capabilities that's deployed and used by more business users than any other business SaaS solutions. And with our Enterprise Mobility Suite, we now have the ability for IT to securely deliver and manage these solutions, as well as more than 2,600 other SaaS-based applications from non-Microsoft companies across any device, and do it in a way that doesn't compromise the end user experience, while still keeping their companies secure. And with Azure, you know, Microsoft offers a comprehensive set of cloud infrastructure and higher-level services and tools that enable organizations to become more agile and differentiate their businesses even more. No other company out there offers the breadth and the depth of what the Microsoft Cloud Platform delivers. AWS does infrastructure, but doesn't offer SaaS-based offerings. You know, companies like Salesforce have SaaS, but no infrastructure or higher-level services. And the combined capabilities of all of these different things really enable organizations to be more agile, to really lower their costs, and ultimately differentiate and really transform their businesses. And we not only offer these capabilities, but we do so at hyperscale. These blue circles here on the map represent Azure regions, which are made up of clusters of data centers where you can deploy your code and deliver your solutions closer to your own customers and employees than ever before. We now have 24 Azure regions around the world. I'll put that in perspective, that's more than AWS and Google combined. And I'm very excited to announce today the general availability of three more new Azure regions in India. And Azure is the first hyperscale cloud offering that's delivering cloud services in India. And we're doing it in three separate locations across the country. And as of today, you can now go sign up for Azure and deploy your applications and solutions there, all backed with our enterprise SLA. Now, Microsoft is one of really only three hyperscale cloud providers out there in the world. And unlike the other two, we're unique in that we enable solutions to be deployed not just in our hyperscale cloud regions, but also in customer and service provider data centers as well. And with our Azure Stack offering, we basically now enable you to stand up a consistent cloud experience that enables the same management API, the same management portal, and the same developer APIs and experiences as in our full public cloud Azure. And this provides customers and partners maximum flexibility as they journey to use the cloud and enables them to use a common set of skills and assets along the way. Now, Azure also enables customers and partners to use the best of the Windows ecosystem and the best of the Linux ecosystem together. We now provide more than 3,400 different applications and solutions from a broad range of partners using our Azure Marketplace. And this enables both developers and IT professionals to use all of the tools that they're already familiar with and really deliver world-class solutions as a result with them. Now, some of these solutions are going to be standalone projects, but we also expect many others, especially going forward in the future, to be ones where you extend and integrate your own custom applications with existing SaaS-based solutions that you're also taking advantage of. And we're investing deeply in enabling great extensibility with Office 365, Microsoft Dynamics, and Power BI. And additionally, we're also investing heavily to connect non-Microsoft SaaS offerings like Salesforce, Box, and others, so that you can build solutions easily with them on Azure. And we really think Azure will provide the best cloud platform for building and hosting these types of extensions and applications. And needless to say, all of the capabilities that we build need to be built on the foundation of trust. And Microsoft continues to invest heavily in delivering security, privacy, and transparency initiatives. And Azure now has the broadest set of regulatory compliance certifications of any cloud vendor, enabling you to deliver solutions to any business environment. Now, over the last 12 months, we've delivered more than 600 new features and services across Azure, and the pace of innovation continues to accelerate. And you're going to see over the next year in particular just a tremendous amount of innovation coming out, some of which you'll see here today. And as we've delivered these new capabilities, we're seeing our usage on Azure continue to grow dramatically. More than 90,000 new Azure customer subscriptions are now being signed up every single month. We now have more than 1.5 million SQL databases hosted and running in production on Azure. More than 500 million users, primarily enterprise users, are now in our Azure Active Directory system, enabling single sign-on consistency across both your own custom applications as well as third parties. We have more than 1.5 trillion IoT event messages now being processed every single month using Azure and our new Azure IoT suite. We have more than 777 trillion storage transactions being processed per day using our Azure storage system. And what's great is we're seeing just a wide variety of different companies and developers taking advantage of all these capabilities. And one of the statistics that often surprises people is that more than 40% of our revenue on Azure comes now from startups as well as from ISVs building and selling solutions to others. And beyond the great usage growth, we also have just some fantastic customers that are running mission-critical workloads on Azure. And this slide contains just a few of the logos of enterprises who are running solutions on Azure today. More than 80% of the Fortune 500 companies are now taking advantage of the Microsoft Cloud. And we're very fortunate to have many of these customers who will be actually joining us on stage throughout the event, talking about their experiences and showcasing some of the solutions that they've built. You're going to hear, for example, from Jet.com, one of the hot startups in the online retail space, from NASCAR, from Alaska Airlines, from VMob, and we're also fortunate to be joined on stage by Walmart, who are talking about how they're using Azure to transform their businesses. And one of the things that makes Azure unique is the comprehensive set of services and tools that really enable you to build great apps. And I'm going to spend the rest of my keynote today taking a closer look at several of these areas, starting with our developer and application platform. Now, one of the things that the cloud gives you is agility, the ability to move fast, respond quickly to customers, and compete even more effectively in this global environment. And with Azure and our Visual Studio family of tools, we're delivering the services and tools necessary for you to do this even more effectively. Visual Studio Online is a service that we deliver as a SaaS-based solution from Microsoft that enables rich development lifecycle services. It provides version control, agile planning, continuous delivery, and application analytics that can be used by any developer IDE and with any programming language or platform. And we now have more than 3.4 million developers who have registered with our Visual Studio Online service and are taking advantage of it to deliver great things. And one of the things we focused a lot on, in particular the last year, is making it a great way that you can integrate with Azure and become even more agile as you deliver your cloud-based solutions. So for example, with Visual Studio Online, we now enable you to host unlimited private code repositories for free using both Git as well as TFS. And this means you can basically check in code with any tool and with any language, and you get full change history support, code compare, as well as collaboration tools. Visual Studio Online also enables you now to build your code in the cloud using Azure, as well as run your functional unit tests against that code once it's built, all without having to set up or manage your own build server environment or any custom VMs. Using the new build service capabilities that we released just this past summer, you can now easily set up build pipelines that can trigger automatically when you check in code into any repository, whether it's the code repositories built into Visual Studio Online, but you can also now point to external code repositories, including ones from GitHub. This screenshot here just shows an example of a canonical build pipeline for a programming environment like .NET. But you can use it to take advantage of other languages and other frameworks as well. And so you can very easily rearrange your build tasks as well as write custom Bash or PowerShell scripts that you integrate as part of them. Here's an example of a Java build pipeline that's taking advantage of things like Maven and NPM. And then here's an example of an Android build pipeline. We're not only compiling your Android code in the cloud, but you can see one of the tasks that we have here is an Android code signing service. So we can actually even sign your code in the cloud prior to you submitting it into an app store. And you can even go ahead and build pipelines for your on-premises VMware, Hyper-V, or other cloud environments. Now, Visual Studio Online also has built-in support for what we call load testing and allows you to leverage the cloud to basically simulate hundreds of thousands of concurrent users hitting your web or mobile backend before you go live. And this enables you to ensure that you're really ready to handle all of the load and deliver a great user experience for your applications. And again, all of this can be done without having to create or manage any custom VMs. It's as easy as sort of a click of a button. You say, how many users do you want to simulate? What is the traffic pattern that you want to go ahead and execute? And then it'll go ahead and automate all of that and provide a full stat report for you so that you can go ahead and see how it's doing. And then we also now provide built-in release management support, which enables you to create policies for your development organization, in particular for a team environment, and easily stand up environments that you can use for the various stages of development. And this enables you to kind of both easily and safely manage the deployment of your code in a very agile way and enforce whatever release policies that you want to ensure that high quality. And finally, once your app is live in production, you want to make sure you can understand how it's performing and what is the user experience of the users hitting it. And with our Application Insights service, you now get real-time insights into how your applications and services are doing, both in terms of things like availability, as well as performance, as well as in terms of overall customer usage and satisfaction. And what's great is all these experiences are built in now into the Azure Management Portal, and so all of your developers can easily get access to it and can basically see these insights in real time as they're working on both building the application, but also then being able to run it in production. And this gives you really the insight so that you can kind of continually optimize the experience and your business results in a completely integrated way. Now, one of the great services that we see that people are really using from a high productivity perspective with Azure is our Azure App Service. This is an incredibly powerful offering that we released earlier this year. And it provides a suite of capabilities that enable you to easily build and scale web and mobile solutions anywhere around the world. It has built-in support for .NET, for Java, for Node.js, PHP, and Python. And it provides auto-patching support, enabling you to focus more on your apps as opposed to having to worry and manage your infrastructure. It provides built-in auto-scaling support, so that you can automatically spin up and spin down more VMs and resources to back your application, depending on the load of the service in production. It also has built-in integration with existing apps, both SaaS-based solutions running in the cloud, and a whole bunch of built-in connectors that enable you to easily integrate security as well as data with them. And then also now has built-in support, allowing you to reach back on-premises and connect to existing systems that you might already have deployed there. And then the beauty is it integrates seamlessly with both Visual Studio Online as well as other services like GitHub and Bitbucket, enabling a continuous deployment experience that enables you to be super agile and super flexible as you do your development. We have more than 350,000 developers now running apps in production using our Azure App Service. And we're fortunate to have many of them joining us at today's event to share their experiences. And you'll see many of them join throughout many of the talks today, going into more detail about what they've done, and then also some of their experiences and some of the learnings in terms of how they've updated their team to do it. Both NASCAR and Alaska Airlines in particular will be talking in depth about the solutions they've built in Bill Staples' talk, which is right after the end of my keynote. They're using Azure App Service and Azure to build both customer as well as employee-facing solutions that they host on Azure. And both of them have a web and mobile experience, which is one of the nice things about Azure App Service is it enables them to build both. And they both have to integrate with existing on-premise applications and systems of record that store data. And so it's a great example of kind of how you can take what you already have on-prem, extend it in the cloud, and really open up new business experiences. The other logo here on this slide is Jet.com. They launched just a few weeks ago, and they're really disrupting the online retail experience in a pretty big way. A fantastic startup with very bold ambitions to reach $20 billion of revenue in 2020. And they built their whole experience on Azure. And what I'd like to do is invite Mike, who's the CTO of Jet, on stage here to talk about their experiences, what they've built, and how they're running on Azure. So here's Mike.
Thanks very much, Scott. Hi, everyone. So before I talk a little bit about how Jet used Azure to build the technology to support our platform, let me talk a little bit about Jet the business. Jet is a new type of e-commerce site that gives customers the smartest way to shop millions of products across hundreds of categories, everything from paper towels to headphones. And I say the smartest way because that's the real genius of Jet. Although our prices start low, they get even lower as you shop. As you start adding items to your basket on Jet, you'll see your savings increase. Now, typically, e-commerce sites are not designed to help customers save money. And in actual fact, they often direct customers to products that are very inefficient to fulfill at the back end. Ultimately, those costs have to get paid by someone, and that someone is generally the customer. That's the problem that we solved at Jet. We've built a range of technologies and tools that are really focused on saving our customers money. The most exciting of these is our smart card technology, which evaluates in real time billions of permutations in order to surface the most economically efficient product for any individual customer's cart. As a simple example, imagine that you have a baseball in your shopping cart, and now you want to shop for a baseball glove. Our smart card technology will run all its permutations, and it'll find the baseball glove that can ship along with the baseball. Obviously, this results in fulfillment and supply chain savings, and these savings are what Jet passes on to its customers. In addition to that, we have other options to help our customers save money. For example, you can waive your right to return, or waive your right for free returns, rather, Or you can choose to pay with a type of car that has a lower interchange rate, and Jet will again pass on the savings. So that's Jet's business. It's really focused on making e-commerce more efficient for our customers. And so a little bit about Jet's technology and how we used Azure. We had two very big problems that we needed to solve when we were building the Jet technology platform, both of which Azure was absolutely instrumental in helping us solve. The first one was time to market, and the second one was scale. At Jet, we knew we had about 12 months to build the 20 or so major pieces of software that are needed to run the Jet marketplace. We've got everything from product catalogs to search systems to warehouse management systems, customer service systems, apps, websites, and so on and so forth. And so we knew that to build these products quickly, we couldn't be overly prescriptive with our technology teams in terms of what tech they would use. We did have some fundamental patterns that we asked them to stick to, the main one being an event-driven architecture implemented via microservices. The event-driven architecture allows us to build a lot of services in parallel because our microservices end up being very highly decoupled. All any microservice really needs to know about is the event bus and the contracts of the event on the event bus. And so while the bulk of our microservices are implemented in F#, under the hood, we knew we had to support a plethora of different technologies, middleware, and so on and so forth. And this is really where Azure came into its own. Obviously, we were using, you know, the fundamental cloud services, and this is where Azure was particularly strong. We had first-class support for Linux VMs, first-class support for Windows VMs, storage, SSD storage, VNets, and so on and so forth. But really what accelerated Jet's time to market was the second layer of services on top of that, most of which Jet uses. Things like SQL Azure, SQL Redis, Service Bus, API management, and so on and so forth. And then the final layer for Jet was all the ALM tooling, the tight integration with Visual Studio, all those things that really improved our developer productivity at what was an extremely hectic year at Jet. And so we estimated at Jet that those three layers probably accelerated our time to market somewhere in the region of 12 to 14 months. The second problem that Azure really helped us solve was one of scaling. Jet was very fortunate to be able to raise a lot of money pre-launch, and we knew that money was going to be spent on marketing, and we knew we were going to have to deal with scale from day one. Now, of course, Azure has a fantastic autoscale story, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. And of course, we use that at Jet, and that allows us to scale our services and systems by various metrics, such as CPU usage, queue length, and so on and so forth. But the real sort of fundamental service that we think helped Jet harden its systems pre-launch was the load testing tooling. We ran somewhere in the region of 5 million minutes of load tests in the week coming up to launch, and really helped harden the Jet system. And we're glad we did, because on launch day, we saw traffic that was 5 times in excess of what we were actually planning for. And thankfully, both Jet's technology and the auto-scaling on Azure worked flawlessly to provide a really good customer experience for everyone on the day. And then finally, there's two other components of Azure that made Jet glad that it chose Azure to be its technology partner. The first one is the sheer scale and size of the Azure footprint here in the US. As Scott mentioned, Jet hopes to be a $20 billion GMV company by 2020. And there are only a few cloud providers out there that we felt comfortable could take Jet to that level of scale. And in our opinion, there was only one cloud provider who could do that and provide the deep integration with tooling, IDEs, languages, and so on and so forth that we feel are necessary to make Jet a success. And that was Azure, obviously. And then the second thing, and this was actually very surprising for us at Jet, was Microsoft's commitment to us as a startup. As soon as we reached out to Azure or Microsoft just after we incorporated Jet, when we were still a very small company, we got nothing but valuable, concrete, and relevant advice from the team out in New York. And it was actually that advice and that support for us as a startup that was really instrumental to Jet being successful on the Azure platform. And so I guess all that's left for me to say is go to jet.com, check it out, add something to your cart, and I think you'll be surprised at the savings you see. Thanks very much. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Now, later last year, we announced our plans to deeply embrace Docker and the Docker ecosystem with both Azure and Windows Server, and make containers a fundamental element of our application platform. And we've released some great support for both of them over the last few months. And today we're excited to announce a new service that we're going to be launching as well that we call our Azure Container Service. The Azure Container Service provides a fully managed service that enables you to easily deploy and orchestrate applications built using containers. Azure Container Service provides deep integration with Apache Mesos as well as Docker and additional open source components, including Mesosphere's DC operating system, Kronos, and Docker Swarm. And you know, the nice thing about all this system is that it powers already leading brands like Twitter, Airbnb, Netflix, and OpenTable. And being able to have a container service that you can spin up very, very quickly and be able to host both Linux as well as Windows Server VMs with your containers in any language will basically give you kind of ultimate flexibility to take advantage of all that technology and really deliver some great solutions with it. You're going to get a first demo of it in action in Bill Staples' talk immediately following mine. And we think it's an incredibly exciting new service that's really going to enable a much richer microservice-based development model using Azure and leveraging the best of open source. Now let's switch gears now and talk also about a little bit about the data and analytics space and some of the rich services that Azure provides there. You know, more and more data is being created and stored in the world. That pace is just going to accelerate over the next few years. And there's an ever-increasing need to be able to gain insight from that data and be able to take action from it. And to really understand, you know, achieve that, you need to do a couple different things. You need to progress from just using data to understand what happened to move to understanding why did it happen. To be able to move to predict what will happen in the future. And then most importantly, understand what should you actually do based on that. And with Azure and our Azure Analytics suite of offerings, we're now providing an end-to-end managed solution to do just that. It includes capabilities to ingest data from any source, save it in its native format in a flexible way, and apply machine learning models and other advanced analytics capabilities against that data to create insight. And then you can then interact with these data models using Power BI, which we'll demo in just a little bit, our new personal digital assistants like Cortana, as well as automate scenarios using custom applications, just like what you heard Mike talk about with Jet.com in order to optimize the shopping experience. And these capabilities really enable you to transform your businesses in radical ways and really engage with customers and reinvent business processes and really change how you actually operate. You can take advantage of all of these different services that I have listed here on the right separately and basically just walk up to Azure and deploy any of the individual services yourself and you know, basically just pay for the individual service that you use. We're also, though, enabling you now to optionally buy a suite of all of these offerings together at a heavily discounted price. And this provides even greater cost savings when you're building end-to-end solutions. And we call kind of the suite of all of our data services our Cortana Analytics Suite. And as of this week, it's now available to purchase. And it really provides the best way to gain deep insight from any data system out there and a really cost-efficient way to build end-to-end data solutions. Now, one of the there's many different services in our Cortana Analytics Suite. Just yesterday at the Strata conference, we talked about our new Data Lake service that we announced earlier a few months ago, but we talked and shared much more details about yesterday at Strata. And it allows you to basically store any amount of data in any format in Azure. And with our new Data Lake Analytics service now, you can run big data processing jobs against it in a much more easy way at a massive scale where you can literally scale from kilobytes to exabytes of overall storage. One of the other services that we've announced that's now part of the suite as well is our SQL Data Warehouse service. And our SQL Data Warehouse service offering makes it incredibly easy to basically store any amount of data and be able to both interactively query and visualize it as well as operationalize machine learning models on top of it. And you know, one of the great things about it is this ability to effectively scale independently compute and storage and be able to handle any level of data that you throw at it. So let's walk through a kind of simple scenario here. What's nice about the SQL Data Warehouse service is it's really easy to stand up. You can literally create one and have it running in a matter of minutes. You can then go ahead and archive data from your operational databases, such as SQL or any NoSQL database. But you can also then aggregate on-premises data, like from an SAP or from a Dynamics system. And you can also integrate and aggregate data from Hadoop-based systems like our managed HD Insight service. And once your data is in the data warehouse, you can then easily visualize and interact with that data using our new Power BI service. You can run automated reports against it. And then you can also use our Azure Machine Learning service to easily create predictive models on top of that data. And one of the things that makes our machine learning service so powerful is that once you create a predictive model, you can then expose it as an API that your applications can then call. And this makes it incredibly easy to operationalize machine learning and use the combination of data plus analytics to make much more intelligent apps and take intelligent action from them. And best of all, it's really easy to do all this. And what I'd like to do is invite Laura on stage to show a demo of creating a SQL data warehouse and then getting insight from it. So here's Laura.
Thank you. Hello. In the next few minutes, we are going to log in. We're going to walk through a couple of services in Cortana Analytics Suite that will help you understand how to set up the Azure Data Warehouse and do some processing of that data using Power BI. So if you just give me a minute. See if that. There we go. So first, we're going to stand up a data warehouse using the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service. This is a massively parallel data warehouse service that can scale from hundreds of gigabytes up to petabytes of data workloads. After that, we're going to set up a couple of reports. We're going to create some visualizations using Power BI. This is a business intelligence service that's available for you to for anybody in your organization, and you can get to it straight from a browser. So let's get started. As Scott mentioned, the Azure SQL Data Warehouse is now available in full public preview. That means that everyone can now deploy a scalable data warehouse with just a few clicks. As you notice, it's very easy to set up. We simply select the server, and we give it a server name. And once we've done that, we simply decide how much compute power we want to assign to our server. We can scale this up, we can scale this down. We simply choose the compute power based on what our requirements are. And the most beautiful thing is this is a zero-risk decision. At any time in the future, I can scale this up, I can scale it down, and it just works behind the scenes. In fact, unlike other cloud data warehouses, we don't need to move our data. It just works. So we're going to choose a mid-level option. And in addition, when you're just getting started, you can choose a blank database and just load your own data. You can also, just to make it easier to get started, choose the new sample data that's available. And the sample data is our AdventureWorks that we've known and loved for so many years. And from here, it's just business as usual. So we'll log in. And voila. We're now deploying a scalable data warehouse with Azure SQL Data Warehouse. In fact, we've now got sample data and views that'll get us started in no time. Imagine in your own data center, this could take months before you can even begin querying and processing, building reports. In Azure SQL Data Warehouse, about 3 to 5 minutes, you have the service available. And while this is finishing its provisioning, what we're going to do is look at one of our existing data warehouses that's already provisioned. What you'll notice is you can monitor and look at the health and activity of the queries over time. You can see patterns of query activity. And that might make you make some decisions. As I mentioned earlier, zero risk decision about the scale. I can scale this up and down at any time. All I need to do is move the slider. You can also script this to run behind the scenes. It all just happens behind the scenes. I don't need to move my data. You can open it directly in Visual Studio and begin building your applications. You don't need to learn any new programming languages. This is SQL, the same SQL that we've known and loved for years. And we have great integration with all the data services in Cortana Analytics Suite. That means that things like Power BI, we can open with a click. As we connect into Power BI, it's going to handle all of the connection string information for us. All I need to do is provide it with a password. And from here, it's going to just import a little connection string information, and in just a couple of seconds, we now have our data set available, and we can begin building reports. So imagine in 3 to 5 minutes, we've set up a data warehouse, and now we're already reporting off of that sample data that we've made available. Power BI has what we call a direct connection with Azure Data Warehouse. What that means is that it's only bringing back the aggregates necessary to build the visualization. The thing the way that that equates back to you is this can operate against any size of data, from hundreds of gigabytes to terabytes to petabyte-sized workloads. It's all happening in the massive parallel processing architecture in Azure. And let's build out one more visualization. We'll look at our sales amount over a period of time and maybe make that a line chart. And in just a couple of seconds, I've created a nice visualization to help me understand sales data over location and time and some customer demographics. And all of this was done with just a quick connection string to Azure SQL Data Warehouse. This is a nice view, and this is a nice report, so we'll save this. And I can come back to it later. I can share it with other people in the organization. And I may want to pin one of these views out to what we call a dashboard. And we'll just pin this to an existing dashboard I've already created that's aggregating data from multiple different sources. As easy as it was for us to connect and build reports using Azure SQL Data Warehouse, it's just as easy to connect to any data service within Cortana Analytics Suite. We can use Spark for streaming real-time data coming through. We can connect it to any of the other data services that are available in Cortana, Azure SQL Database, et cetera. And when you want to hand analysis directly to your users, they can start asking questions directly of the data. And they can use just natural language. And perhaps they want to look at things by gender. And we'll look at it by product category. And it renders the visualization very easily for your end user. They can save that out to our dashboard. We'll pin that up. And we now have a single view that's bringing data from our data warehouse, from our big data engines up in Azure, in addition to our real-time engines. And Cortana Analytics Suite just brings it all together. I'm going to hand it back to Scott. Thank you.
I think you saw from Laura's demo, just in terms of the ease of use that a lot of these new data technologies now have, and the fact that you can actually kind of stand up those types of environments literally in minutes and see immediate ROI from it, really allows you to kind of transform how you think about problems, and it really enables you to solve even harder business solutions. So we talked about developer and app platform. We talked about data and analytics. Let's switch gears now and talk a little bit about Internet of Things and some of the IoT solutions that we're now building out. You know, it's an incredibly exciting time right now in the IoT space. And you know, pretty much everything that we work with on a physical level going forward is going to have some IoT connection to it in the future. And that IoT data is going to be used both to control devices, but also, as you saw from Laura's demo, you're going to see it, IoT solutions bring in data into the cloud and enable businesses and enable companies to get much more insight in terms of how their users are using their services and be able to kind of build much better experiences based on those insights. One of the things that we announced earlier this year was our Azure IoT Suite, which is an offering that provides a host of IoT capabilities for on Azure, from device connectivity and security, which is paramount in the IoT space, to device data ingestion and command and control scenarios, where you can not only use the cloud to aggregate data from devices, but also use the cloud to be able to reach out and actually control those devices in a secure way and send signals to them. We provide stream processing and predictive analytics. So imagine a scenario where you have a device that's sending back health data about that device. How can you use the cloud to get that data, but also analyze it in real time to see, is the device operating properly, and be able to predict, is it going to break down, and if so, what action should I go ahead and take based on it? And then how do I go ahead and orchestrate all this so I can have complex workflows integrated as part of my business process? How do I visualize the health of this system and be able to drive intent on it? And then rather than have to code all this myself, how can I actually have pre-configured solutions for lots of common cases that I can just leverage and then customize or configure in order to get immediate success and value out of it? And so we're pretty excited about what the Azure IoT Suite provides. We're having tons and tons of customers taking advantage of it now in the preview form. And I'm really excited to announce today that it's now available for purchase. And so you can now go ahead and actually buy it and use it in your own production systems. You know, as an example of some of the capabilities it offers, this is sort of a out-of-the-box UI that it delivers that allows me to see for any of the devices that I'm managing, where are they geographically. I can set up alerts, I can set up workflows, I can go ahead and manage those devices and look at the telemetry in real time. You can see we've integrated as part of this experience the Power BI views that Laura showed earlier in the Power BI experience directly in an in-situ IoT suite management tool. And then you can also go ahead and set up business rules that don't even require necessarily developers to actually always go ahead and code them so that you can actually manage that experience and track the health of all your devices in real time. And obviously everything you can do through the UI, you can also automate and script as well and through a programmatic API. And we think the combination of this really enables a tremendous amount of power and new scenarios. As I mentioned, we have lots of different customers that are taking advantage of this IoT capability today. Rockwell Automation is using it to manage gas dispensers across critical infrastructure around the world. Ford is embedding IoT sensors into all their vehicles going forward and are going to be streaming the data into the cloud to be able to understand the vehicle intent and be able to optimize the car owner experience. And Dyson Krupp is the leading manufacturer for elevators around the world. They're using the IoT solution in a very innovative way to basically track the health of their million-plus elevators deployed around the globe and be able to use the signals from those elevators to predict when an elevator is going to break down and how do they optimize the service experience both before it breaks down so they can fix it before there's a customer issue and be able to optimize their business process around it. What I'd like to do is show off a quick video from Dyson Krupp talking about their solution and how they're using Azure.
With 3 billion people moving into the world's cities in the next 3 decades, the world needs tall buildings, and tall buildings need elevators. I'm Dr. Rory Smith with ThyssenKrupp Elevator, a leading global manufacturer. Maintaining over 1.1 million of these machines annually and keeping them running safely and reliably 24/7 is our job one. We wanted to better compete in our industry by offering dramatically increased uptime. So we're taking preventative maintenance a step further to predictive and even preemptive service. We teamed up with Microsoft and CGI to harness the Internet of Things, to collect data by connecting the sensors and systems in each of our elevators to the cloud. Microsoft Azure draws this data into a central cloud-based dashboard for a real-time view of key performance indicators. And Power BI provides rich data visualization, so we know which cabs need service and when. Microsoft Azure Machine Learning feeds data into dynamic predictive models so that elevators will actually be able to anticipate which repairs they need. Using an app on mobile devices in the field or the dashboard at one of our corporate control centers, all of our technicians see the same real-time information. Now we have the ability to use live data to define a needed repair before a breakdown happens, reducing costs for ourselves and for our customers, raising elevator reliability to new heights. That's the Internet of ThyssenKrupp's things, and it's here right now.
Throughout the day, you'll hear more about our IoT suite and go into more depth in terms of some of the demos and some of the new capabilities that today's offering now enables. And we're incredibly excited about all the different use cases that are now possible with it and are really the leading provider in the cloud space in terms of delivering the platform and the tools necessary to really enable those scenarios and do them securely and at scale. I'll switch gears now and talk a little bit about infrastructure and all the rich services that Azure provides as an infrastructure cloud that you can use to build any types of solutions on top of. And obviously, all the higher level capabilities that we've already talked about today are built on top of these same core fundamental infrastructure components. And really, the combination of being able to take advantage of infrastructure plus these higher level services like data and analytics, IoT, and our developer and app platform services is really the combination that makes Azure really unique. One of the things that we've been hard at work on over the last year in particular is building out our set of infrastructure and the capabilities we deliver with it. We now have an end-to-end management platform that provides a single management API that you can use to manage any of the services across Azure. And one of the couple big innovations that we've released over the last year are things like the ability to create application templates that can compose multiple of these services together into a single solution. So rather than just create a SQL data warehouse and then create a storage account and then create a Hadoop cluster and then a web app, you can now actually, with a single JSON template, indicate that you want to create all four of those resources and integrate them together, and then basically send that template to Azure with a single call to go ahead and stand up that entire solution together. We've integrated things like lifecycle management so that you can actually replace and or tear down an entire environment, again, in a completely automated way across multiple resources. And we've also now integrated things like role-based access control, the ability to tag resources so you can easily search for them, as well as a new billing API that'll expose the health and billing, the billing data of your services and be able to even incorporate those tags in order to actually allow you to charge back departments or individual teams within your organization based on the services that they're consuming. We've added some great support with premium storage so that you can now go ahead and drive massive I/O disk workloads on Azure, greater than 80,000 IOPS per VM, which is the largest in the public cloud, with less than a 1 millisecond read latency. And then we've also come out with a number of new virtual machine sizes, and you'll hear about two more VM sizes that we're announcing today, that enable you to run even more diverse workloads in our cloud. Our G-Series, for example, that we announced earlier this year and shipped earlier this year, enables still today the largest VMs of any cloud provider out there, with almost a half a terabyte of RAM and 7 terabytes of local SSD storage, and really enables you to power the most extreme workloads. I'm excited to announce today a new family of VMs that we call our N family. These are our first GPU-optimized virtual machines running in Azure, and they take advantage and support the latest NVIDIA GPU processors. We're the first in the public cloud in order to enable that, and also have super fast RDMA network access, as well as enable high-end remote visualization. And we're incredibly excited to have these available, and know that they open up a whole bunch more use cases that you can take advantage of throughout Azure. One of the things we're also focusing a lot on, and you're going to hear more about today that we're pretty excited to announce, is a bunch of investments that we're doing around improving security and enabling you to build even more secure solutions by using Azure. And obviously, security right now is a hot topic everywhere in the IT space. And you know, a week doesn't go by that you don't hear about some organization that's had a security breach. And the reality with security is it's a nuanced thing where it requires all of us to lean in order to build secure solutions that end users and consumers can take advantage of. And one of the things that we're working to do is, and launching today, is our new Azure Security Center. And what this basically provides is not only a bunch of documentation on how to build secure apps, but really builds in a management experience that allows you to actually automate the security within your systems and be able to have us proactively tell you when we see that you either have a security issue happening or you're not implementing all of the best practices necessary to build great secure solutions. As part of this, we now provide integrated security, monitoring, and policy management. So you can even have it where an organization can set up policy rules that all of the teams within their organization needs to follow. And then basically we'll automatically be able to flag any time you're out of policy from those particular requirements. We have built-in threat detections as well as alerts. So we can actually tell you when you're being DDoSed. We can tell you when we see that someone is trying particular attack on your system, where they're from, and if you have all the right safeguards in place. And then one of the things that's unique about our solution is it's not just us building it. We've instead partnered with a broad ecosystem of different security providers out there. And you can see just some of the logos there at the bottom of the slide, and enabled their solutions to work as virtual appliances running inside Azure so that you can actually, if you already have a particular security vendor that you've embraced or trusted or already bought their solutions, you can now take their solutions, easily deploy them in Azure, and integrate them end-to-end as part of the security experience. As an example, and you'll see a lot more demos a little bit later today, we now have a new security center directly inside the Azure Management Portal that you saw Laura demo earlier, and you'll see Corey do some demos of in a few minutes. And you can now pull up for your subscription or for your account an overall summary blade that'll tell you what resources are running and what are we seeing in terms of the best practices that you either are or aren't implementing as part of your solutions. You can drill in, for example, and see recommendations that we see based on how you've deployed your solution. In other words, do you have an IP address in front of a web or mobile app that's not being protected with an application firewall? Not only can we flag that, hey, you have that issue, but you can actually click on that recommendation. And one of the things we've done is integrated as part of the Azure Marketplace the ability for you to choose any of the existing application firewalls you might have deployed in your account, or you can go ahead and choose from the gallery any of our third-party application firewalls from companies like Barracuda or F5 or Imperva and others, and go ahead and attach it in front of that IP address, and with just two or three clicks, basically deploy that security device in front of it. Other things like network security groups and making sure that you don't have open ports even within your application, we will scan, automatically highlight for you, and then directly in the experience walk you through how you go ahead and improve and basically make sure that you implement all those best practices. And we think this, you know, without having to kind of read a bunch of reports or read a bunch of documentation that you have to remember, you know, the beauty is you can run this anytime, either through the UI or through an API, and immediately be able to assess what your current situation is. We're also then integrating security alert capability. And one of the cool things is we're actually ingesting security events from all these different security providers into a single system. So effectively, we're running a giant Hadoop big data solution for you, analyzing the security attacks that are happening on top of your applications. And then what's nice is we're also being able to take other signals that we subscribe to. So for example, if we know that a particular IP address is compromised with malware or has basically been taken over by an attacker, we can automatically scan our network to see is anyone attacking your application from that location and immediately alert you as part of it. And so DDoS attacks, SQL injection attacks, and others will automatically show up as part of the security alert system. And we can even pinpoint the activity, the frequency, and the location of those particular attacks, again, all within our management portal. And then what's nice is we're also exposing, as part of this solution, APIs that will integrate with existing systems like ArcSight or Splunk that your company might already be using for their SIEM architecture. And so your existing, you know, security office and or security IT team can integrate the solutions they already use on-premise with their solutions in the cloud to basically get a comprehensive coverage on security that no other cloud provider out there offers. So you hear a lot more depth about this later today. We really think this is a great example of a type of enterprise-grade capability that we're looking to provide on Azure and some of the unique services that we can provide above and beyond base infrastructure that no one else does. In addition to things like security, the other big investment that we're making is around how do we actually provide even richer troubleshooting and support experiences on top of Azure and enable you as you build your applications both to hopefully have a really great trusted cloud provider that runs your services, but also to be able to debug your own applications and help you when you do run into issues, identify what is the issue, where is it at, and how do I fix it in as fast a way as possible. And we're kind of pleased to announce a bunch of things that are going to be coming out, some of which are live today, some of which will be coming out over the next couple weeks. And what I thought I'd like to do is invite Corey on stage to give a demo of a bunch of them. So here's Corey.
Thanks, Scott. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks. Great. Let me get logged in here. Excellent. Fantastic. So over the last few years, working with a lot of customers on Azure of many different shapes and sizes, I frequently hear questions around how best to debug and diagnose problems on the platform. And I'm excited today to be able to walk you through some new tools and capabilities that's going to make this really easy and fun even on Azure. And so let me start here with my session that I'll quickly reload. And the application that I've got running right now is a four-instance application. It's got two VMs running in my front end that are running Nginx and Linux. And then I've got two running in my back end, which are running SQL Server. And so I've obviously got the HA across these solutions. And so it makes sure that my app will stay up even when an instance goes down. And already you can see I've got a couple alerts that have fired. And so these alerts are configured to make sure I know when issues are going to happen with my VM so that I can respond. Some new capabilities we even just announced called webhooks allow me to wire that straight into PagerDuty or SMS or even a Slack channel to be able to track when those things are happening without necessarily having to come onto the portal. And so now that I see that these are an issue, I'm going to go ahead and drill in and take a look at Nginx 2 and see what may be going on. So you can see here right away to the right, I've got a new section. This section is up at the top called Support and Troubleshooting. What this is a set of tools and capabilities that we've added that are very easy to go find and use to make it super simple to go to solve problems that may be happening with your VM. It's a one-stop shop for solutions, and we'll continue to add things as we learn more and more about the way customers want to interact with this experience. Some examples here, you can reset your password directly from this experience. You can even resize your virtual machine right here. So for investigating this specific problem, Nginx 2 being down, the first thing I want to look at is maybe some changes happened to this that I wasn't quite aware of or happened without me knowing. And I'll click into the audit logs. And so quickly you can see I take a look at my audit logs and I can see some of the most recent actions that have happened against my virtual machine. So on Sunday, a couple days ago, I see quite a few operations that look a little bit strange. Someone was deallocating and restarting my machine. Well, this may be part of the problem. So let me find out who did that, and I can go talk to them and see what improvements we want to make. Ah, so it was Scott Redshirt that made those changes. So, well, I kind of regret giving him access to my machines. So now that I know who made these changes, the next big question is what's actually going wrong with them? So if I zoom back over to my troubleshooting section and go into boot diagnostics, this is a new capability available today on your virtual machines to be able to take a look at the serial output of your Linux machines directly in the portal experience. And so I can go in here. This gives the output of the kernel. It gives the output of the drivers, even applications if they're piping to that serial output. It's fully searchable, and so I can go in and look for the word failed and zoom down here to the ones at the end. And sure enough, it looks like there's something going wrong where this machine can't boot. It's failing to find some of the applications that it's looking for. And so now I know the problem. Within a matter of seconds, I'm able to quickly determine what was the problem with this instance, and I can go fix it. Now, that's great on Linux, and the serial output's really powerful. But of course, on Windows, we don't really have that luxury. There isn't a lot of information that pipes out on serial. And so what we've enabled on Windows, one of the first of the big cloud providers to do this, is outputting the console output. So you can see here for a healthy Windows machine, I can detect that this login screen is there and the machine is up and running in a healthy way, right in my portal experience. If I go back to the machine that was actually unhealthy and take a look there, here you can see the failure screen that it has not successfully booted. It's failing to boot because it can't find the kernel, actually, and so it has failed to launch, and now I know my problem, and I actually know how to go fix it. I'm not quite sure why people were deleting files from my machines, but at least I've solved the problem. As we continue to grow this experience in troubleshooting and support, we'll keep adding tools and capabilities, things like being able to reset your firewall or actually configure alerts directly in this experience. One of the diagnostics capabilities we will be adding as well is on the network side. You may see all your virtual machines as healthy, they may all be booting correctly, but you can't access them. And the likely problem there may be the network configuration that you've set up. So a new addition in the coming months offers network analytics, where you can take the output of all of the rules you have configured across your network infrastructure into a single storage account to then be viewed in a variety of viewers. Here, I've actually got it set up to view directly in Operations Management Suite. So using the tooling that I'm using to manage all of my instances, I can see the denied flow traffic right here and see, wow, 275,000 denied flows to these instances. This is probably my problem. I need to go look at that network security rule and maybe make a few changes. Zooming back over, one of the next additional changes that we will add support into the troubleshooting section is a new area called the Resource Health Check. This is going to offer you a view of your instances from the platform perspective. Instead of offering a giant map that shows you all the problems that the platform may be experiencing, instead, we'd like to make sure that we showed you the problems that are going to impact you when you want to see them on your instances. And so what we're offering as part of this new service in the coming months is the ability to take a look at your instances from our perspective, using our operational logs and our knowledge of what's going on. And so here you can see the same four instances are shown as part of this experience. And when problems may come up, you can actually click in and see if there are workarounds or options to prepare the instance when it's in this state. You can even go in and create a support request directly from this experience without having to memorize a long GUID or the name of the VM. It's all in context with your support plan, ready to go, personalized to you. So across the overall section, we've added a new troubleshooting section that is brand new and available today. It offers connection with serial output and console output to be able to track the health of your instances. We will be releasing these network analytics to make it very easy to track the security and the health of your network infrastructure. We will also be releasing this new resource health check that will tell you the state of your instances, but from the platform perspective. Overall, I think these will make it much easier and much simpler to use the platform when problems do arise. Thank you so much.
Switch back to the slides there. And, you know, as Corey showed just sort of the ease of use in terms of that we're trying to really bake in, even in terms of the troubleshooting and support experience, and how it really enables you to basically have kind of a really great finished experience that enables you to kind of run your solutions with confidence on top of our infrastructure. And obviously, in addition to running the experiences, we want to be able to provide as cost-effective an experience as possible when you do so. And one of the things that you know we've committed to in terms of from a price matching perspective is across the board to make sure that for all of our commodity infrastructure services that we match all of the growing rates of any of the other cloud providers, and that's something that we've done over the last several years. One of the things that we're also excited to announce today is a new pricing program that will be available in the coming weeks, which we call our Azure Compute Pre-Purchase Plan. And what this allows you to do is pre-purchase compute hours that you can leverage as part of your solutions and allows you to save up to 63% off of the standard Azure Compute costs. This will be available globally, and we think provides the most cost-effective way to go ahead and pre-purchase Azure resources and be able to enable you to pass on even more savings to you that you can take advantage of as you build and deploy your solutions. And we'll be talking a lot more about this throughout the day. You know, as we built out these infrastructure services, as we built out things like security, troubleshooting tools, and provide even better cost savings, you know, we're seeing just a huge number of customers that are increasingly moving not just their customer-facing applications, but increasingly their core IT infrastructure services and systems to run on top of Azure. And you're going to hear more about them from a number of these customers throughout today's events and some of the breakout talks. For example, in Jason Zander's talk a little bit later on today, we're going to be very fortunate to have Walmart join us on stage and talk about how they're starting to take Walmart IT and be able to migrate solutions to run on Azure and some of the reasons behind it and some of their experiences and learnings from doing so. You'll hear from Temenos and others that are building things like banking solutions and running them on top of our cloud as well. And then, you know, one of the customers that we're particularly excited about because it really illustrates how the cloud can not only be used from a commercial perspective, but can really be used from a humanitarian perspective to really change the world, is the United Nations, which is running a lot of their disaster relief systems now on top of Azure and are able to take advantage and use it in a variety of different disaster scenarios to be able to immediately stand up infrastructure in places that most need it after a disaster and be able to leverage that global reach of the cloud and the agility that the cloud provides to do it as fast as possible when human lives matter. What I'd like to do is actually show a quick video of some of their experiences of doing this in Nepal.
The future can offer hope and possibility. We help shape it with our character and build it with our dreams. But the future can also present us obstacles that test our will and determination. This is how we find the power within us.
The frantic search for survivors goes on round the clock following Nepal's biggest earthquake in 80 years.
Disaster relief is always overwhelming. There's too much to do, too many people that need help, and never enough time or resources. The United Nations Development Program is a global network of knowledge, experience, and resources. We're a group focused on building sustainable communities and empowering people. And now, partnering with Microsoft, our frontline responders in Nepal are testing a new approach, using the Microsoft Cloud to store and process data, helping obtain the insights we need to help our programs have the greatest impact. With over 600,000 buildings destroyed in the quake, the Debris Management Program was established to bring fast-acting relief and recovery to support the hardest-hit areas. In 4 short months, we've equipped local engineers with mobile devices and a custom application to expedite damage assessments, prepare for safe demolition, and track our efficiency. Completing over 3,200 assessments and 2,000 safe demolition projects, paving the way for reconstruction. This application will also become essential to our emergency employment efforts. And combined with QR card distribution, we'll be able to provide critical daily cash payments to thousands of workers helping to clear debris, putting money back into communities that need it the most. Additionally, a joint poverty alleviation initiative between the UNDP and the government of Nepal is using the cloud to collaborate with other partner organizations, providing support to over 13,000 micro enterprises, helping them get their businesses back on their feet. Disasters create unique opportunities for innovation. Our partnerships and our work here in Nepal are strengthening the UNDP's current operation, while allowing us to develop new cloud programs that will revolutionize the way relief organizations operate in the future.
The Nepali people have shown dedication, tenacity, and resolve. And with our continued support, they will be empowered to build a better future.
Kind of be amazed with the types of solutions that are being built on using the cloud and just the imagination, the creativity, and the way that it can really change the world for all of us. And we're really excited to have spend the rest of the day going to much more depth in terms of what we're building with Azure, again, be able to share more customer success stories as well as learnings in terms of how people are taking advantage of the cloud and the lessons that can be learned from that. And stay tuned throughout the rest of the event for more than 60 different breakout sessions that will be streamed online. We've got a number of great additional keynotes that will be coming right after me, going into more depth in terms of building applications, data and insights in IoT, as well as the infrastructure announcements we've made today. And we're really excited to see what you build with them. And I want to thank everyone for participating. So thank you very much.